Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 310.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 310. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. I took a week off last week because it was my birthday, and we usually work ahead on the podcast and things like that, but we hadn't because we had batched a bunch because I was traveling a little bit. But anyway, that's why you're listening to this week, and there was no podcast last week. I was playing golf on my birthday, which was very, very relaxing, very, very calming, peaceful, tranquil. So that was really fun. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. There's hundreds, literally, of episodes before this. Obviously, this is 309. I encourage you to listen to them all. They're all super, really, really amazing. And if you do want to watch the version of this, you can go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. to see the Jazz Piano School channel. And again, it won't be as much talk. You can just watch me play through the lesson of the week, which is the podcast. But if you're here to listen to me talk, well, you're in luck because I'm going to be talking for like 3 hours. Just kidding. Anyway. All right. So this is going to be a great lesson. And I blaze through and demonstrate, which I don't think a lot of people get to hear me play that much because I really love educating. I think my teachers played a lot. And like they didn't really talk or educate in a simple manner. They just play. I think most jazz musicians just like play too much. I'm probably going to get like, yeah, just I don't even know. But anyway, all right. Like I always try to educate in the simplest way, the simplest form, the simplest manner. And I don't really play that much, like extended play for you y'all. So you're going to hear me play a little bit more. It's definitely rough. I'm trying to do more demonstrations, over exaggerations of demonstrations rather than, like play naturally how I do, which I guess I should have, but it's really intended to be demonstrations of each individual item in my improvisational path. And so, like I said, a lot of times, I just opened two new programs. They haven't really started yet, but they are open for enrollment. And I have a lot of students studying with me privately. People ask me all the time, Brendan, can I study with you? Yes, you can study with me through these programs. That's essentially how you do it. And the way that I've set up the private study is way better than any individual lesson that you would kind of have with a teacher. For one, you get access to an amazing private community. Two, you get all the recorded tutorials and videos and lesson plans that I'm giving to you, written out, demonstrated for you, custom videos of me playing for you and demonstrating all the exercises. And then you, from an accountability standpoint, have to record your videos for me, record the exercises, submit them. I know that can be kind of scary, trust me, but once you get your feet wet, once you get going, it helps with students' progress so, so much. And that's why my first iteration of the Accelerator program was so successful. This new iteration is currently open, so there are 9 spots left. If you want to enroll, if you want to study privately with me and join a small cohort of students as we move through the program, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/small group to gain more information about that. But it's a fantastic, fantastic opportunity, a fantastic deal, by the way, because you get so much access to everything. You get lifetime access to all the materials that you're going to be giving. You get custom tutorials from me. You get to be a part of this amazing community. You get to go through all these live events that are going to be held. Pods, small group lessons, practice sessions, guest master classes, Q&As, open mic nights. Like, it's just insane. I mean, so anyway, if you are interested in kind of diving deeper into your jazz piano journey and really breaking through plateaus and committing to your learning process, I highly, highly recommend you check that out because I promise you there's nothing else out there right now like this. I promise you, this is literally, it's like, it, you know, I don't want to like drink, what's the term? Drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not like drinking my own Kool-Aid. Yeah, that's the term. But like it's really, really awesome. And so anyway, go check it out. There are three spots in my mastermind, Inner Circle Mastermind program too, which that is open for, that's a 9-month program as opposed to a 3-month program where you study with me for a longer period of time, a bigger commitment, obviously a bigger investment as well. If you are interested in that, I ask you to email me personally because that is more of like a conversation that has to happen. See where you're at, see what your commitment level is and things like that. But don't be scared, you know, a very nice guy, don't bite. And honestly, it's just more of a conversation about where you're at right now and how I can help you break through your plateaus and what the plan would be for you for the next 9 months. Both the programs officially start in September. My email is brendanlowe@jazzpianoschool.com, B-R-E-N-D-E-N-D-E-N, lowe@jazzpianoschool.com, brendanlowe@jazzpianoschool.com. But anyway, the students have been saying to me, because I'm having conversations with everybody, you know, I meet with all my students one-on-one, and I talk with them, I listen to their journey. It's so nice connecting. It's just so nice being able to connect with students and talk to them and see them face to face. And I keep saying this, like running a membership, running an online business, it's kind of lonely, honestly, sometimes. And like, I miss the conversational aspect and component of teaching. Like that, I'm a teacher. And like, I didn't, you know, I could have become a professional musician, but like, I didn't want to do the road life. I didn't want to just gig all the time. And like, I know professionals kind of like can gig and teach at the same time, but I really wanted to like develop a business and like leave a legacy of like jazz piano education. And that's why I built Jazz Piano School, because it will really live on forever. You know, I just turned 39, which was my birthday. So I'll be turning 40 here next year. And, you know, I've done over 300 podcasts, all free, all amazing content. Obviously the blog, there's courses, there's a membership, and now these private programs, which are so much fun. They're so fulfilling for me. I'm able to help students in such a better way, honestly. Like it's very fulfilling for me because teaching privately, like the majority of teachers teaching privately, and when I was teaching privately, there's so less resources back in the day than there is now. Like, you know, I would sit there and listen to players. Obviously, I'd write lesson plans down, but like I wasn't recording videos for you that you could rewatch at any time. I wasn't giving you a community that you could connect with other people and feel empowered by, motivated, inspired. You know, you didn't have access. I'm saying you, like theoretically you, my students I used to teach privately. You didn't have really access to me 24/7. You couldn't ask me questions through our chat, through Voxer. All these technical resources, you know, I would give you your lesson plan and then you would practice, you know, or not, and then show up the next week. And like, if you didn't practice, then I'd kind of just be sitting there like walking you through a practice session. And if you didn't remember the lesson plan, you had it on paper, but you didn't really like, you couldn't rewatch the video. You couldn't see any of the things I was showing you. It like the level of education online these days, like, completely out trumps like the way that private lessons used to be held. Like if you're still taking private lessons, honestly, I would highly, highly encourage you to think to maybe consider not like doing online education, because the positives and the benefits completely outweigh the old model. And I know so many students, I'm going to get into what my students have been saying in a second, but I just really love talking about this. I love talking about education. I love progressing education. I love moving the needle on the way education has traditionally been thought of, including particularly jazz education. And this is why I honestly started Jazz Piano School, because of the views, the perspectives, the philosophies of learning jazz. You know, I'm a very systematic, organized, and structured individual in my teaching. And I want to give that to students. Like, I want to give you a plan. I want to give you bullet points. I want you to be confident in what you're doing and feel confident inside that you're on a right path to achieve your jazz piano dream, right? Back on the day, it was really kind of like a guessing game. It was a really like, you just listen to me. You try to figure it out on your own. Most of the time, you're not going to be able to. How do you get help? I don't know. What am I doing? What am I practicing? Am I actually making progress? Like, It's a mess. It really is. And like, that's why I love jazz piano education. I love education in general and just helping people, because I really feel like I have a different perspective on the old traditional model, which I talk about in all my education throughout my podcast. And I'm sure a lot of students resonate with me on this. I went through it. Like I am, like I said, I'm 39. And so I was learning the same exact way you were back in the day when I was in the 90s. Right. When I was like 10 years old, when I started taking jazz, when I was in my teens, right, I was in my 20s in college. Like now in my 30s, I started my business in my late 20s and 30s when I really kind of settled into my philosophies and the way I wanted to help individuals. Like I wanted to disrupt the jazz education process. And I still want to continue to disrupt old traditional habits that have been formed, like people saying, just transcribe more, just go listen more. Don't get me wrong. Those are very, very important. Always, you transcription and learning language, listening to albums, it's absolutely necessary. But the order that you do stuff in is very important as well. And if you're a beginner, if you're even an intermediate player looking to get better at improv, my first words of advice to you aren't go transcribe. It's a lot of the stuff you're going to hear in this 11-step sequential improvisational path that I'm going to lay out for you in this particular episode. Because these steps are so important, and it's so important to do these in order. Most students are never doing anything in order. Like, you're probably never, ever, ever doing anything in order. And this leads to, can you imagine trying to build the pyramids from, like, the top of the pyramid first, and then, like, trying to, like, stick the bottom layer or the middle layer of a pyramid underneath the top layer, then, like, stick the bottom layer underneath? Like, that's how people are built. That's how you're building your jazz foundation. And like, no wonder it's not working. No wonder it's crumbling, right? You're not building from the ground up. You're not doing things in order. And what the main culprit to this, unfortunately, is the greatest thing that for society that ever happened. It's the internet. It's YouTube. It's educators going online like myself, putting out content, putting out more and more and more and more information. Now, yes, I do that online because I want to help people. But the way I put out content, I truly believe by listening to this podcast, if you're one of the few that listens to my podcast, listens to the way I articulate my story about jazz education, like you're going to see that my philosophies are much different, right? There's a difference between, and yes, do I, well, I'm getting into a whole thing right now. I'm kind of going off. I hope that's okay. But like, so students will say to me, yeah, the teacher I studied with, like, they would like go from like 0 to 100, and I knew what they were doing at 0, and then I had no idea like what I had to learn in between. Like, they would show me like, you know, the most basic thing and then the most advanced thing, right? And like, what was I supposed to learn in between? Like, what are the steps to get me to that advanced thing? I think that's the real root. The problem with jazz education is not many people think about the path, like the steps to get to one point. It's like, here's a cool thing. This is for a beginner. Here's another cool thing, but this is for an advanced player, but you can start to work on this too and like kind of just throw that in your tool bag. Like, that system of learning and educating in jazz will literally make you fail. Like, you'll be able to play a whole like weird stuff here and there. I remember some teacher asked me to play for him, and I was like, okay, I can play these cool voicings. And then I was like, I can play this lick. And then I can do this thing here and this thing here. And he's like, okay, but like, can you play a tune for me? Like, can you put that together in a tune? And I was like, no, I can't, because all the education I've taken was the teacher just saying, here, check this voicing out. Here, check this lick out. Here, watch me play. Now copy me. Like, there was no path. Like, no, I couldn't play a tune. And that's the only thing I wanted to be able to do, is like play tunes and improvise. So the way I teach, the way I educate, is filling in the holes, like filling in the steps between, okay, you're a beginner, here's what you need to do next, but in a sequential order that's meant to like meet you where you're at in your own journey, in your journey, in Mike's journey, in John's journey, in Susie's journey, in Colleen's journey, right? in Elizabeth's journey, right? It's meant to meet you where you're at right now so that that's your next step. That's the next step that's going to progress you. I'm not going to give you this like super advanced cool lick or voicing. Like, I know you want that and like I'll show you it for sure, but like without all the other stuff in between, you're essentially trying to go from like the bottom of the pyramid to the top of the pyramid without filling all of the middle of the pyramid in to hold everything up, right? It makes absolutely no sense. And obviously, a lot of students are eager to learn. I was super eager to learn. So I was so hungry for information. I thought if I could just collect enough information and get enough education, buy enough books, watch enough videos, take enough lessons, like that was going to work. But I'm going to tell you a secret right now. More information doesn't mean you're going to be successful. I'm going to say that again. More information, more education, more stuff does not equate to you being successful. You know what does? Is working on the thing that you need right now that's the most efficient and quickest step to get you to whatever your goal is. Not everyone has the goal of improvisation. So why are you working on improvisation? Not everyone has the goal of playing a solo piano ballad tune. So why are you working on fast tunes or comping? You know, do you know how to work on your next step to get you to your goal? 99% of students will say no. All the students I'm teaching in the Accelerator program, they're great players. They got a lot of facility, a lot of resource. But when it comes to having a curriculum that's in a sequential step-by-step order to bridge everything they know together and be the glue to bring all the random stuff together, they're not the teacher. I don't expect them to know how to do that, because that's what happens when you try to become the teacher and you go online and you try and teach yourself, or you know, you're getting all this information. Like, I'm sorry to say, there's just no way you're going to be able to do that. You're not a professional. You're not a professional jazz pianist. You haven't been teaching for 20 plus years, right? So, you know, even if you have been teaching for 20 plus years, some teachers, the way they teach, you know, it's not in a means that's going to literally kind of bring you through the step-by-step process. But through the connection, through the speaking with individuals, like, it just reinforces my philosophies, which is really nice. People share their admiration and gratitude for my approach, my philosophy. And it's really nice for me to hear, honestly, personally, that, again, it's just reaffirming for me that I'm doing the right thing and I trust in my gut. I trust in my philosophies and my education. So I'm just going to keep going. And I love it. I love doing this. I love helping people. And honestly, because of my systematic process, because of my philosophies, I've helped people that have constantly failed for years. Like I've talked to individual students that have failed. They've studied with teacher after teacher after teacher. It's not like I'm their first teacher. You know, they've studied with multiple teachers. They have so many books. They've gone on YouTube. They purchased courses. Like almost every single person I've talked to that's in my program has been a member of competing websites to Jazz Piano School. I don't want to name names, but like all the websites out there, they've gone in those programs. They've purchased the courses. You know, they'll say XYZ, this was pretty good. But they all say the same thing. They all say that the educators, right, are going too fast and it's so much fluff and there's no tangible meat and potatoes that actually leads to getting better and improvement in jazz. Like it's all the cherry and whipped cream without the ice cream. And it's like the educator will be talking about a concept and then boom, it just flies by. And it's like, what? How did you even get to that point? You know, it's like, how do you even do this? I get it. I've been there. Trust me. And I've heard from my students like that have tried almost every other jazz piano website. So I don't like to toot my own horn. I mean, I do, but I don't. But I do. You know, but I truly think it comes down to the fact that I'm a younger educator. By young, you know, like, you know, I'm not that young, obviously, but I'm still a younger educator. And I started Jazz Piano School, like I said, in my late 20s. So my journey to building the business, to educating you directly comes out of personal turmoil, personal difficulties, personal horrendous experiences that I've literally cried over, right? While taking lessons, while pursuing jazz, while playing at jam sessions, I just came out of those about a little over a decade ago. I'd say like in my mid-20s was things when things really started to ramp up for me, right? I've just come out of that. Whereas like a lot of educators, they got good by using traditional methods. I didn't use those same methods. Like I did, of course. But they're learning, they're teaching the way they learned, right? They're showing you the way they learned, and they're creating websites based on the way they learned. And that way is the old school way. And in my opinion, for most students, for 99% of students, hobbyists like you trying to get better, right? Even if you're trying to become a professional or you want to play gigs and play in bands, that way, that old school way, that's not a good way. And I hear it over and over and over again. So I hope you don't feel that I'm trying to like knock on the educators, because everyone has amazing things to learn. I think I just have a special superpower because I never wanted to teach the way I learned, because I don't believe that I got proper learning. I was always frustrated with my learning. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not knocking on their style. I don't want to teach that way because it was always frustrating to me. I had a different opinion on that style of teaching, on that method, on that type of jazz education. It seemed like a mess to me. I never knew what I was doing. I never knew what to practice. And, you know, half the time I thought it was my fault. Like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, I was dumb. Like, if I'm going to be completely honest with you right now. And it was, it was a lot of self-internal doubt and, I don't know if shame is the right word, but just kind of like feeling inadequate. You know, you feel inadequate. And that's not a fun feeling. Like, I had teachers say like, hey, why can't you do this? Like, I showed you in my last lesson, I showed you how to do this. Why aren't you doing it? And it was like, at the time I was like, oh God, like what, am I not doing it? I was trying to practice, right? That's not a fun experience. And like later I learned, when I reflected back, and certainly now when I reflect back, those teachers, they did not teach me. So like for them to say, why can't you do this? That was so unfair of them. Like that was very, very unfair, because they weren't teaching me properly. They weren't showing me the proper steps to learning these tools, components, and integrating them into tunes so I could effectively play a tune instead of just like playing random bits of information. That was their fault. That's on them. That wasn't on me. So if you're out there and you're listening to my story right now, which I just kind of went off about, and I think a lot of the meetings I'm having with the students these days that are in my program, the Accelerator program and the Mastermind program, you know, and having conversations with them, and I think it brings up, definitely unearths old feelings of like anger and resentment to paying lots and lots of money for my teachers, in the past, and spending, and like, I get it. And like I said, I only just came out of this about 15 years ago. I'm about to be 40. So like in my mid-20s. So like that feeling in the journey, and like I said, I started jazz piano school about almost 10 years ago. So like all this stuff was very, very new for me. The feelings were still there very clearly in my soul, in my gut, in my body. You know, and as I was starting jazz piano school, this was the fire. I was like, you know what? Enough of this. Like, I'm going to create the best dang jazz piano school website, best education website ever. Right? Now, I can only show you all the door, because there's different types of people. And some people, which is not, it's not a bad thing for them, right? Or I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but like, if you're constantly chasing this magic pill or secret that is jazz piano, like you feel like you're gonna like stumble onto a secret, like the secret video or the secret teacher or something like that, like you're not. Okay, getting good at jazz piano school is a mixture of having a great teacher give you the necessary components you need to succeed, like the basic outline blocks and steps for where you're currently at right now, being able to break it down for you so you can understand them, understand the exercise, the tool, why it's important, how to integrate it into a tune. That's the number one. That's the first thing. The second thing, you need to practice. You need to work really, really hard. And if you have one of them, you know, some people come to jazz piano school and I don't think they realize what they got, because I think they're still looking for that kind of like, oh, this can't be it. It has to be something else. Like it's got to be like this cool advanced voicing. Like this is how you get there. It's not by just practicing basic fundamental concepts that like I need in the moment right now. Like I'm too good for this. You know, half the students that I ask them, like, and ask yourself this. When I meet with people, I would say like 99% of students overestimate their abilities. And ask yourself if that's you. Like most people are like, oh, I know my seventh chords. Like your seventh chords are the most basic type of chord. Do you know your seventh chords? Can you play them off the bat? Can you play a tune just using your seventh chords without hesitation, without making any mistakes? I would say most people can't. Can you go around the circle of fourths? Can you go half steps, whole steps, up and down with your seventh chords, your majors, your minors, your dominants, your minor seven flat fives, your minor majors, right? And then people start to go, well, do I really need to do all that stuff? That's what they say to me a lot of times. Brendan, do I really need to play them in all keys? You don't have to, but when you go to play a tune where an E minor major seven chord comes up, right? And you haven't practiced that, you're not going to be able to play it. So learning, yes, like learning your fundamental concepts and practicing them diligently and really going deep into learning things better than you feel like you probably learned them, you know, that's not something that most people want to hear. Or your rootless voicings. Like how well do you know your rootless voicings? Based on the 80-20 rule, I would say if you learned your rootless voicings like the back of your hand, you'd be like 80% better at jazz. But unfortunately, most people kind of learn their rootless voicings, and in their head, they think they've learned them, right? Can you isolate your rootless voicings? Can you play them all over? You know, so like I said, students have one of two problems. They don't have a teacher, they don't have a guide, so they're trying to teach themselves. And then when they do have a guide, and like if I tell a student to do something, or if they go to jazz piano school, if they join the membership, they see my courses, they see the coursework, they start to get overwhelmed with like how much work it is, and it is a lot of work. Right? But that's what it takes. Like, it does take a lot of work. You know, like anybody, sports, athletes, amazing artists, professional musicians, anybody, doctors, like, they know their stuff inside and out. And like, that's the point you have to get to. Like, it once the door is there, like, once you join Jazz Piano School as a member, or if you're inside the program, I'm giving out my custom lesson plans. I'm delivering the gold on a gold platter to my students. But I can't make them practice that, right? And I can't make them trust me. I can try my best. I always try my best to motivate people and inspire them and educate you on why it is I'm giving you the exercises that I'm giving you. Why am I giving you this exercise right now? Because XYZ, you're here, you're doing this, your goal is to do this. In order to do that, you need to practice this very, very well so that you can play this way without even thinking about it. That's why you need to do this. Oh, but like, isn't it kind of like this? Like, can I just like do that? No, you can't. Like, that's not going to lead you there, right? And the reason I know this, one, is because I've been teaching like thousands of students. Like I'd say I have more teaching data on students based on Jazz Piano School than like anyone else. And two, I've gone through it myself. I've literally gone through it myself. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to me vent. Just want to say thank you. If you're still here listening, you haven't turned away, thank you. I appreciate you. I truly, truly appreciate you listening to me vent. Hopefully some of what I said is inspiring, it's educational, and it's not, hopefully you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, cool, cool. Like, I get it, I get it. I don't want it to feel like muddy or like, you know, like I'm saying this stuff to help, okay, is what I'm trying to get at. Anyway, this particular lesson is amazing, and watch me demonstrate all the steps because I slowly stack on each improvisational step one by one by one by one. Each step is very hard to get under your hands, but if you do this in this order, you'll become an improv master. Easier said than done, I completely know, but at least you'll have a path. You'll have an understanding of like what you need to work on, what tool to incorporate into your improv in the order that it needs to be worked on. And if you're missing tools or missing gaps in your playing, it's probably because you haven't tackled one of these tools enough. You haven't worked on it enough, or maybe you haven't worked on it at all. So it probably needs to be put into your list of improvisational tools. Okay? Here we go.
All right, here are my 11 steps to improv mastery. Step number one is going to be chord tones. Again, I'm going to be doing the tune Autumn Leaves. This is going to be in the key of B flat, G minor, and here we go. Chord tones first. So I'm just going to be using chord tones taken from the chords of Autumn Leaves to improvise and solo with. Here we go. Just chord tones, you're going to want to try to achieve that and be able to do that over any tune that you open up to in a real book. Step number two is going to be rhythm. I introduce rhythm second because you're going to need rhythm and rhythmic variation throughout all of these steps. Chord tones is going to be first, then rhythm. So even if you're not very good at rhythm with your chord tones, you can still start to create solos out of the chord tones. But now we're going to start to pick up the rhythms a little bit more, and we work on rhythmic variation throughout the use of just using chord tones. Here we go. Step number two, adding more rhythms. I was using a lot of rhythms, but adding rhythms to chord tones. I was doing a lot more rhythmic things. I was probably going above and beyond to demonstrate rhythm. But again, if you are using chord tones, you're going to want to start to introduce rhythmic variety and variation into your chord tone improvisation at this point. Okay. Step number three is going to be connection of your chord tones. Clearly, we're just using chord tones. We need some fluidity. This is where your scalar motion or modes or scales are going to start to develop your improv even more. A lot of people hate modes. You're probably one of the individuals that might hate them too, but they start to connect your chord tones, and that's why they're so important. Here we go. Connection of chord tones. Start to change drastically at this step, and I'm only using chord tones, different types of rhythms, and scalar connections. That's it. That's all I'm using. I haven't introduced anything else. So step three is going to be connecting chord tones with scalar motion. Obviously, I was doing some skips and things like that. Step number four is going to be the introduction of bebop approach notes. Now, this is where things get really fun. This is where things get very elevated as well. And again, through all these steps, you are applying rhythmic variation and different fun varieties of rhythms to each one of these steps. So I will include rhythmic variation in this bebop approaches as well. Here we go. Just going to be the introduction of bebop approach notes. I made a couple of mistakes. Again, I'm trying to just do the introduction of these particular steps in order. So step number four is going to be, that was all bebop approach notes. So again, right now I'm doing combination of four things: chord tones, rhythm, scalar connection, and bebop approach. If you're using those four components successfully, this is what your improv will sound like. Okay, how do we take it further? Number five, you'll obviously notice that I'm really not going outside the box much right now because I'm not using any improvisational tools. Now, I categorize improv tools as miscellaneous kind of scales: the altered scale, half whole scale, whole tone scale, blues scale, any sort of miscellaneous improv tools I'm going to start to now introduce in combination with the last four steps that I've just played for you. Okay, here we go. So Clearly, I was using blues scale. I used some altered scale. I used some half whole scale. I'm using miscellaneous improvisational ideas. The only element that was in there that I noticed as I was playing through was more ornamental or musicality textures, which included ornaments. I don't include those until later on in the sequential path, but I apologize for that. So that was step number 5, improv tools. I'm now finally going to start to add my left hand in. Finally, step number 6 is going to be left hand, and there's a lot of different types of methods of introducing your left hand. You're going to hear different types of methods, including call and response, together, separate, obviously. But step number 6 is going to elevate your improv sound even more. Here is improv with my left hand now. Clearly, our sound has gotten even better. Our improvisation has gotten even better because I'm introducing new different types of voicings in my left hand, extensions, rhythms, all sorts of elevated textures that are still improving our improv, still making it sound even better with each new layer that we add on. Number 7 is going to be more miscellaneous improvisational chords. Diminished scale, minor, major stuff. I was kind of adding the minor, major in before, but I'll do a little bit more of that now. And any sort of kind of miscellaneous minor 2-5-1s or just like interesting chords, minor 6 chords, minor 4 chords. This is where you're kind of really starting to dive into the nuances of the harmonies at this point and really get into the inflections that each specific chord change holds, okay? So like I said, listen for a lot of minor, more nuanced minor stuff, and other, variations of that. Here we go. This is number seven. Tune Autumn Leaves, obviously a lot of the minor stuff is going to come to play. In other tunes, you might experience, like I said, diminished chords. There's not really diminished chords in this. Diminished chords, minor 4 chords, stuff like that. But it's going to be all kind of like the interesting or odd changes. Now, this miscellaneous section chord changes is different from the miscellaneous step we covered before in step number 5, which is miscellaneous improv tools. The miscellaneous improv tools are things like the blues scale, the things that you switch up and you can kind of choose to paint your improv with, the altered scale, the half whole scale, the whole half scale, like I said, the whole tone scale, any sort of different type Lydian, any sort of colors or modes. Those are going to be miscellaneous improv tools. These are miscellaneous improv changes, kind of like the odd changes that you don't see that much. Number 8 is going to be reharm. So we're still elevating our improvisational sound even further. We're introducing the concept of reharms now as layer 8 in our improvisational journey. Here we go. slowly starting to add the introduction of reharms into everything that we stacked up onto at this point is still elevating our sound. It's still making us, bringing us to that next level of improvisation mastery. Now, musicality I've actually been doing throughout this entire time, because really without musicality, improv is never going to sound good. Now, what do I mean by musicality? I mean different types of textures, slides, motifs, repetitive lines, different sort of melodies, things like that, using the entire register of the piano, using the low register, the high register, having fun with your solo, right? Any sort of kind of fun double-handed dyads, triads, comping techniques that I use. Right, just lots of different types of textures, dynamics, things like that, soft, loud, a lot of contrasting elements. This is what I call musicality, and this really, really starts to bring your improvisation to life with all these different types of things, trills, ornaments, as I mentioned before. I was still doing ornaments before, but a lot of this really will start to even elevate all of the kind of technical tools or the brainiac tools that we've done before, the previous work. It's going to bring it to life and actually make music out of it. So here we go. Lots of different textures. I was using glissandos up and down, double-handed lines, comping chords, slides, trills, ornaments, dynamics, low-end parts of the register, high-end parts of the piano. This is what I call musicality. They're not necessarily new notes, not necessarily new techniques or anything like that, but these are all the fun, fancy kind of like tricks or hacks, I guess you want to call them. They're musicality. They're textures. They're just textures. Loud, soft, thick, thin. All these type of textures woven into your improvisational solo that continues to elevate your solo even further based on the methods and tools that you already know. Now, I got two more steps for you. Step number 10 is going to be development. Now, obviously, I can use textures up the wazoo, but if they're not really kind of intertwined into the story and building upon each other and kind of really like developing an arc to your solo, they're not going to really mean much. It's going to kind of like saying random bits of information or random sentences here and there. So what I'm going to try and do is really develop my solo now, have a nice arc to it, start to introduce all these elements slowly, and then kind of bring it back down. Here we go. Thank you. best, but not my worst. But clearly you could kind of start to see a build, an arch to the progression of all the different elements, you know, leading, developing a story, motifs where I keep an idea going, I develop a new idea, and then stay with that idea for long periods of time. And it really starts to bring you on a journey, a thematic journey of different themes, themes I bring back, themes I stay with, and then kind of just kind of progress you the through the improvisational story to the end. Now, the final thing that I put on here, because this is really based on choice, and the direction you want to go, and it can really kind of be woven into this whole entire process, is styles. How do you want to sound when you improvise? I add this last because everything up until this point should really be learned and mastered before you get into styles. Because at the heart of this, you want to be able to, you know, master a lot of the things that I've just shown you. Back in the improvisational tools, this is where a lot of stylistic things may happen. Whereas, like, if you're interested in modern, in step number 5, your improvisational tools, you may be wanting to focusing on your pentatonic scales, your hexatonic scales. If you're more into bebop, then you might want to, you know, focus more on your bebop approach notes and altered scales and leave that kind of stuff out. But right now we're going to get into styles. So I'll kind of switch up the style. I can do blues. I can do Errol Garner style, you know, modern style, traditional bebop style, more in between. So I'll kind of switch back and forth between styles. And you'll start to hear the difference. Oscar Peterson, different variations on the way people play. Here we go. Style. I got some Brad Meldow going there. But anyway, styles is obviously going to be your choice. I did a little Oscar, did a little traditional bebop, I did a little Earl Garner, did a little who knows what, you know, some of it was my stuff, some modern stuff, but clearly styles is going to be the last choice because you can really go in so many different directions based on what your desire is at that point because you have all the tools. So just to go over all the steps again, number one, chord tones. Number two, rhythms. And again, anytime I introduce an element, that element stays for the rest of the entirety of the steps, of the journey. It doesn't mean you're just doing it at that level. It means it stays there and you're combining that with the other elements that are being introduced on your path. Number three, connecting of chord tones, scale or motion, modes. Number four, bebop approach notes. Number five, improvisational tools, pentatonic scales, hexatonic scales, blues scales, all three blues scales, minor, major six, full major blues scale, altered scale, half whole scale, whole tone scales, all the different types of improvisational tools to bring you outside the box, bring you colors, different types of colors. So number six, your left hand, different types of left hand voicings, extensions, voicings, three-note voicings, four-note voicings, five-note voicings, right? How you comp, when you comp, with your right hand, without your right hand, call and response methods and strategies. Number seven is going to be miscellaneous improvisational chords. So diminished chords, minor six chords, minor major chords, six chords, right? Any sort of kind of weird or, you know, nuanced harmonic chord that you might want to play over, minor, major, major sharp five, any sort of weird voicings like that. Number eight is going to be reharms, reharming the tune, improvising over reharms. Number nine is going to be addition of musicality. Again, musicality should always be added throughout, but this last step will really elevate your playing to a whole new level. And you can really add musicality at any point, but textures like trills, ornaments, every part of the piano, the low end, the mid to low, the middle, the mid to high, the high end, right? Loud, soft, thick, thin, lots of notes, little notes, lots of contrasting textures, excuse me, to really give musicality to all of your playing, like bring it to life. Number nine. Number 10 is thematic development, storytelling, motifs, right? Introducing a theme, then maybe staying with that theme, bring it back later, introducing a new theme, like kind of like Peter and the Wolf, you know, telling a story of themes, coming back to that, really bringing the listener on a journey, rhythmic motifs, melodic motifs, long, short, thick, thin. Again, all these textures are going to help you develop your story. Thinking about an overall arc to your improv, how many courses you're going to take, how fast you're coming out of the gate, how slow you're coming out of the gate. And then finally, styles. What stylistic genre do you want to improvise more inside? The traditional bebop method, hard bop, modern, Errol Garner, specific pianists you want to sound like, Oscar Peterson, Errol Garner, Bud Powell, Chick, Brad, Keith, Herbie, whatever it is, okay? So if you go through these bullet points and honestly you work on them in this sequential order, because I did build this in a sequential order, then trust me, you will be on the right path to improvisational mastery, okay? Again, don't forget to go check out my open enrollment group that is now available, where I can help you with all these things inside a private program where you get to study private lessons with me. Yeah, that can be found at jazzpianoschool.com/small group. Hope you guys enjoyed that kind of sequential system to improvisation mastery that I've demonstrated for you. Hope you have a fantastic day.